Hi, I'm Tony, a.k.a. Spool32, an elder DM from the Avalis Persistent World, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community, by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
So hey, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Eshkan Zelo. I come from the land down under.
Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
And I'm Skunk Keen, the most vile bastard in Neverwinter Nights.
And tonight we have Jay with us. Jay, say hello.
Say hello.
Jay, yay!
Hey, everybody.
And we also have a special guest, Tony, a.k.a. Spool32 from Avalis Persistent World. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you guys?
So he's going to join in with us tonight, and then after we do the news and a special segment, we'll have an interview with Tony. So stay tuned for that.
Tony, isn't it cool to be special?
It's great. It happens.
It's awesome.
Well, it's
the rest of
time,
us
actually.
Aren't special, but you're special. And I don't even mean, you know, never mind,
not,
I can't say
not
that.
Not in a bad way, right?
Not like an education way.
I got in trouble for saying that last time.
Well, hey, before we get to the segment, hey, Skunk, what's this, what's that ding in the podcast feed?
Ding!
What the hell are you talking about?
Have another drink.
So if y'all haven't checked it out, Skunk was in another podcast this past week.
Bing.
Do you remember now? Yeah. Hello, Skunk, are you with us?
Yeah.
Lost him.
So I went on to another show and I chatted with some other folks, that's all. I still love you guys.
Oh, I know.
What show?
Well, I just want everybody to know. Yeah. It's IGN. Yeah. IGN is doing has a new podcast, an MMO podcast.
Ah.
And they invited Skunk on there after Jay dissed him.
And I'm going to get a butt kick.
And so Jube from over there on the Ding podcast, she's going to kick Jay's butt.
That's all right, Jay. She probably she probably fights like a girl anyways, so don't worry.
It was funny listening to that podcast. It was like,
if she fights like a girl, I'd be scared.
Yeah, they fight mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't cross her.
No.
She was like the skunk of that podcast. You know, we have our skunk. She's the skunk over there.
I just simply want to subscribe so that I can get it on my iPod and listen to it when I'm driving or on the plane or wherever I'm at. I was disappointed that I couldn't do that.
Do you have your own plane?
No, but when I travel.
I was going to join Jay. I was going to start making fun of him, like tell him they suck balls and such. But I decided to
go that far.
So I decided to go the route of peace and, you know, and just chill with them. They were cool.
Well, everybody, as y'all know, we announced in the last episode that Michelle is going to be leaving the podcast.
Oh, quit it.
So before we get into the news, I actually got out into the community and let everybody know that you decided to step down from your duties as hosts for the show because you have some other stuff that's going to be going on with Ossian and Pouncy Rock and Misery Stone and all that. And something had to give, and we were it, right?
That's harsh.
Everything else was cool, and the podcast sucks.
No, that's not how I was thinking of it. Even though we do suck, but oh well. Okay, so what I wanted to do tonight was, of course, we're going to miss you, Michelle.
Yes.
Oh, I miss you guys, too.
So I got out into the community, and I said, hey, Michelle's leaving the podcast. And I said, hey, please send in your farewell messages and let her know how you feel about her leaving the show. And, you know, just send your comments. So I was wanting to read those off to you.
Oh, you want to, like, do the whole got guilt question mark?
No. Okay, so this is from QSW. She posted in our forums. I will certainly miss your sense of fun, Lisa. I hope that you have a lot of fun with whatever you're going to put your energetic personality to next. Our loss, but something else's gain. Keep in touch, won't you?
That was very sweet of her. She's a great lady. I enjoy talking to her.
She'll be in the Girl Gamer Roundtable, right?
She is in it.
And Striker B from Israel said, hope to see you around, Lisa, and have fun with everything you do.
Thank you, Striker.
Roannon said, so long, Michelle. You still have the best laugh ever. Come on, give it to us. Somebody tickle her.
Just laugh for no reason.
Okay, and Ty Bay also posted in our forums, bye, Lisa. Don't be a stranger. I'll miss trying to make you laugh all the time. So long, Shelly!
Oh, that had to be. Oh, I swear I'm going to kill him. That was Sir Chet, correct?
No, that was Ty Bay.
Oh, he jumped on the Shelly bandwagon.
Yep. Okay, so that was from our forums. And now I'm gonna switch over.
I'd like to mention I have not seen any of these, and Trey won't let me read them, so.
Okay.
I didn't even know it was posted.
Okay, now I want to play you. Some people sent in voicemails that I'm going to play some of them for you now.
Michelle, with lilting voice and sparkling laughs, you lifted me up when I was down. In the only Neverwinter Nights podcasts, you were the sparkling jewel in the crown.
Aw. Who's that?
That's FFBJ.
Oh, that's sweet.
I thought it was, too.
Hey.
Okay, and let's go switch over here to the Bioware forums. I also posted over there. Okay, I put it in the NWN1 forums, but no one posted there. Probably because you don't ever play NWN1, right?
Well, I haven't for a while. But I did for several years.
Uh-huh. Okay, there's quite a few over here in the NWN2 forums. Dun Night Owl, Chris, a.k.a. Chris. This is sad news, or that is sad news. I just got a voice to the handle when I got higher speed internet service recently. What a happy, bubbly voice. And when I first read that, I was like, what? You don't listen to the podcast? And I also got to hear how she responds when I recently got interviewed by the podcast, the episode 106. She will most definitely be missed during the NWN podcast. In the meanwhile, I can only hope that her reasons for stepping down are good and happy ones for her. You're great, Lisa, Michelle, and that's sincere. You also keep Johnny Ree happy, and so that's still a good thing. You take care and know that I'll miss that super friendly and happy-sounding voice of yours on the podcast. My very
Thank
best
you.
Regards, Dun Night Owl.
Thank you, Chris.
Then there's another post from E.C. Patterson. Everybody knows him, right? Gaming Parent Studio.
Mm-hmm.
We've had him on them on the show before. That is sad to hear. I have always enjoyed Lisa's spirit and wit when she has been on. All the best, Lisa. I hope we will still see you around, though. And long life to the podcast. Best wishes to the rest of the crew. Ashokan, Each Surf, Skunking, et al. Your dedication to the gaming community have always impressed me.
Thank you, EC.
And then McGnome, Rob McGinnis posted. Everybody knows who he is, right?
Yes.
I am saddened to hear this. She has been a steadfast supporter of the Neverwinter series, and she will be sorely missed. I have had nothing but good experiences interacting with her. She is a bright spot in the community and has been great for the podcast. Good luck, Michelle. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you, Rob.
Jason NH, this is a tremendous loss for the NWN community. Thank you so much for the great interviews, laughs, milk, and cookies. Hope to see you back again.
I will go down in history being remembered by milk and cookies. Didn't that all start before I was even on the show?
No, I think you started that.
Yeah, I know, but I think
you started dishing out milk and cookies before you were a host, I believe.
Right.
Oh, she did? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said something about you guys are better than milk and cookies or something like that.
Okay, here goes a name I'm going to butcher. Pelhacano? Pelhacchio. Pelhacanano. I don't know. P-E-L-H-I-K-A-N-O.
Pelicano.
Pelicano. I've listened to a few of the NWM podcasts. Sorry to see you go. Good luck for whatever you got planned next.
Thank you, and I'm not going to butcher your name, so just thank you.
And then from Foil. I've seen Foil is always in the forums. You see him posting everywhere.
Yeah, he posts on Bouncy Rock also.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that, Michelle. What's going to keep the rest of those yahoos in line now? Best wishes to you. Hopefully you'll still be floating around Bouncy Rock, which you will be, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Grinning Fool.
I haven't, let me clarify something. I haven't left the community as a whole. I've just downsized some of my responsibilities.
Right. I know, and I didn't describe it that way. That's kind of the way some people are taking it, I guess. I just said you're leaving the podcast.
You said Grinning Fool?
Yes, Grinning Fool was next. Very sad to see you go, Michelle. Your presence will be missed. Good luck with whatever is next.
Thank you, Grinning Fool.
Chaos Welder said, best of luck, Liso. I know I'll miss the contributions.
Thank you, Chaos Welder.
Rev Lemire, best of luck to you, Liso. I've always enjoyed hearing your voice on the podcast. We'll continue to follow your NWN2 work through the forums. Thanks for all you do. Keep it up.
Thank you. I feel like a broken record.
Queen Silverwing also posted over here as well. Good luck, Liso. I know whatever you do, you'll have fun. A wonderful voice, fun wit, and down to earth with a few amazing bubbles, though.
Okay.
Did you do some bubbles for her or something?
I don't think so.
Now, this next guy you know.
That's...
Are you following me along? Yeah. Yeah, he's in he's with Bouncy Rock.
Right. That's Josh.
Okay, that's Josh. He quoted the who's going to keep the rest of those yahoos in line now. Said, I agree. Sad to see you go, but you got to do what you got to do. Best of luck to your new endeavors. Shadow Beast said, I can only echo the same sentiments as everyone else. Liso, your presence will be sorely missed, as you've been a wonderful member of the NWN2 community. Well, she's not leaving the community.
Just... I'm still a member.
Yeah.
You're just not going to hear me babble anymore.
And who knows, you might come back every once in a while, right?
If you invite me.
Well, of course. Frith5, farewell, Michelle. I'd wish you good luck, but I don't reckon you need luck. Success in everything you do then. Thanks for your energy and encouragement for NWN.
Oh, it's JFK.
Ulysses.
Yes, that's Frank Perez.
Oh, okay. I'm shocked and saddened by this news. Your voice at the podcast was always wonderful to hear. Best of luck with whatever you're working on.
Well, thank you, Frank. I interviewed him last year.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
Thank you, everybody. I don't think I forgot anybody's names except for the one I didn't want to butcher.
Well, I'd like to read off one of those before you move on. Well,
hold on. I have one more.
Well, that's the one I wanted to read off.
Which one?
The last one. On the list here. Let's see if you could figure out who this is from, Michelle.
We read them all.
No, there's one left. It says, see if you could guess who this is. Dear Michelle, you ruined my life. I shot my hamster in Germany.
Oh, Skunky.
He says,
Stop.
He says, you will be missed. You ruined my life. Goodbye, Michelle. Can you guess who that was from?
You are just on so many levels wrong.
Yeah, you say it's goodbye
like,
to you.
It's like a ladder. You could just step on all your different levels.
What? I was just reading it off for you.
Wait.
The guy wanted to say goodbye to you.
What, did he email it to you?
Yeah, that's what it says. Dear Michelle, you ruined my life. I shot my hamster and gerbils in the head. And goodbye and good luck. That's what it says. From Lisa's number one fan. That's
Everybody that doesn't know, that was Lisa's, that was Michelle's stalker that we had for a while.
So now he's going to come after me.
Yeah, he is. I would be afraid, be very afraid. Okay, I have one last voicemail to share with you, Michelle.
Okay.
Hello, this is Gloggerbot. I am very sad that I will not have Lisa to quote anymore. Farewell, Lisa, I will miss you.
There's that laugh. I knew I'd get it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too funny. Who did that?
Actually, I can't take credit for that. I can take credit for playing it. But Stryker did that for you.
Hey, Michelle.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
I'll say that it was very early on that Troy and I were putting this thing together and starting this show and struggling a bit. And after talking with you and interviewing you, we talked, I don't know how long, about whether we should try to bring you into the show or not. And I'll say that that was never the wrong decision. That was always the right thing to do. You brought so much energy and excitement and module development and knowledge to the show that has completely changed the way the show has been created and perceived by the community. And I can never say that we ever would have made a bad decision including you in this project at all. And I really appreciate all the contribution you've done to the show and how you've taken it to the next level.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it.
I didn't know what to add, too, except for say, you know, I mean, I'm going to still see you around. I go to the Aussian forums and, gosh, I'll chat with you still. I'm going to still see you.
I admit, I haven't been on the internet a lot in the last month or so, but bear with me. I will come back.
Yeah. I'm still going to see
you. I'll still be around. I'm just, like I said, I had to minimize my outside responsibilities outside of real life.
Yeah, we're buds for life, so it's not like I don't feel like saying goodbye.
Yeah, I just hope that, you know, I don't find out, you know, on CNN that you had a hamster incident.
Hey, and when y'all release Misery Stone, you can be in, we'll interview you for that, right?
Now you guys can interview the guys who actually are working hard on it.
I'm sure you'll join them, right?
I'm sure I will.
But I hope you enjoyed that segment there, about all the comments and everything.
Yes,
wanted to
I
do
did.
Something a little bit special.
I thank everybody for the wonderful comments. I very much appreciate it. I even got some emails asking me if it was true, and I was like, well, how do all these people know? And I didn't know that Troy had posted my departure on the forums, so... Until tonight, and then he didn't let me read them.
The news. I didn't want everybody to, you know, hey, where's Michelle at? We haven't heard her in a long time.
I'll still come hang out in the IRC, you know, chat room once in a while and be on MSN. And for those of you who are on my MSN, and, you know, I'll still be listening to the podcast. Absolutely. I was a fan before. I was a co-host, so, and I'm still a great fan.
So you'll still be bringing milk and cookies?
Absolutely. What would you do? I see, you know what? You went a little while without your milk and cookies, and you whined about it. No. You went through the DTs. I mean, I'm serious. I think you needed, like, rehab or something.
Well, you talking about my little comment that I did?
Uh-huh. Looks at the empty plate of cookies, blah, 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 blah.
I was role-playing.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Hey, Dave wanted to be here and give his goodbyes, but he and his family went camping this morning for a whole week. So he said to tell you goodbye, and he would miss you.
Okay. I'm sure I'll talk to Dave soon. And Jay, thank you for coming. That was really cool.
You're welcome. I had to be here for this.
And Tony, it was nice to meet you, and I'm going to let you guys proceed with your show.
It's nice to meet you, too.
Get out.
Thanks, Michelle.
Get out!
Bye-bye.
We love you.
No, I love you guys. You guys know I do.
You love me? You love me?
Yeah, I even love Skunk.
We love you a long time.
Grab his tail as you go out.
I figured I'd fit Peyton his stripe and confusing himself.
I love you too.
I'll paint your stripe and you won't know who you are in the mirror.
She.
I'll take your beer away.
No. I'll go with the white stripe.
Hey, tell
Bye,
John.
Bye, everybody.
Tell John and we said hello.
I will.
Bye, Michelle.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's do some news real quick, and then Tony, we'll jump into your interview. Sound like a plan?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, for everybody who didn't know, I finished Mask of the Betrayer. Is that news?
For you, that's news.
I've been fighting that end boss in several different sessions. I finally got him to spawn his little mini-me's, and I got him. Oh, I'm sorry, that's probably a spoiler, isn't it?
Are you still talking about the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
You haven't beat it yet either, Jay?
I haven't had an opportunity to play in so long it's not even funny.
Oh, wow.
Did you play it, Tony?
All the way through? No, I haven't.
No, you haven't? Good, I'm glad I'm not the only one. See, I'm not the only one, Skunk.
Oh, you guys are missing out. It's wicked.
I also installed Storm of the Hears. I haven't started playing it yet, though, but it's installed. Huh. Also, some other news, Mystery of Westgate's, I think this is news since we were last on, Mysteries of Westgate, Atari has removed the 3 activation limit from their, from that adventure pack. So that's big news. I think everybody likes that. You can still activate it over the internet, but the installation limit was the real deal breaker, so it's good news all around. And that comes from Game Banshee is where I heard that from.
Seems to be kind of a terrible idea just in general.
Yeah.
Well, Troy, I've got some news.
Yes, Jay. Go for it.
I have been working with Bruce Nielsen, which you guys are probably all familiar with. And we are creating a new idea we've had. Kind of one of those we pulled, you know, Troy, you and I talked about this probably a year and a half ago. And Bruce and I have kind of picked it up and are running along with it. It's the Neverwinter Nights audio drama. And Bruce has taken his first module and has written a script for it. And what we're going to be doing is looking at voice actors and writers to come in and create this audio drama in the D&D Neverwinter Nights world with these characters from his module. And we're going to, if you guys would bless it, be posting those in as part of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, just kind of test those out and see if people like them or not. And if they do, then maybe we'll be spinning this off as his own show. We have got most of the script done. Bruce took his module and I think wrote like 60-something pages of a script for audio. And we are working on character bios that we were going to be posting.
60 pages?
Yeah, 60 pages as a script. Golly. And we figure it's going to be about 6 episodes of about maybe 10 or 15 minutes of audio each. That's our estimate right now. Go ahead.
So now you need voice actors.
Yes, so we're going to be posting the profiles up. For the characters, we have about 11 characters that we're going to need voice acting done for, and we're going to be posting those up probably in the Vault forums, probably some of the BioWare forums, and definitely the main forums will be with the Neverwinter Nights podcast forums. There is a public forum there for just the Neverwinter Nights audio drama. So I just wanted to get the word out for that and let people know that in the next couple of months they should start hearing some content come in, or at least some teasers.
So are we going to – that's going to kind of be like another – episode of the podcast, right?
Well, it can be as part of the episode or it can be separate. That's going to be up to you guys. What do you want to do with it?
Cool. And Bruce, he was in our storytelling episodes that we had way back around 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so. So if you want, you may give you a little bit of the opening audio for it.
Sure.
So this is The Believers, Part 1, Solnar's Hordes. For our first attempt, okay, this is Bruce's going to say the opening is, a shadow has fallen across the world of Hearth. It has been 1,000 years since the fracturing of the old Tarlinium Empire into the Warring Kingdoms. 1,000 years since the death of the Empire's great Varanite Emperor, Christopher Roland. Now, he's got to kill me for butchering the pronunciation on this stuff. Ulfred, King of Avenod, has grown old and some say has lost his potency as a ruler. As age strips Ulfred years by year, Avenod slips further into decay. The appearance of a man named Samuel Melodon, claiming to be a Venerite, the lost race of kings blessed by the creator of Hearth with divine power, causes a stir in the country of Avenod. Could he be a Varanite? Does he serve the light, as he says, or is he a deceiver?
Dun dun dun. So hey, these are kind of be like books on tape, right?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like the old audio dramas that you would have heard in or radio dramas that you heard in the early days before TV.
Right, and we'll put like sound effects in it and all kinds.
Oh yeah, we're going to mix them up with music and audio and sound and.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
Hey, our other host, David, he got his stuff published onto Amazon.com. Maybe he could do that same with your audio drama.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So if this works out really well, what we're hoping to do is create maybe a set of characters and a setting, kind of like you think, like in CSI or CSI or something like that, and then allow community writers, people that write for modules and for worlds, basically create their own stories around these people's backgrounds and stuff, and then we'll get the voice acting and stuff to it. So the idea was it's a great way to showcase writing capabilities from the community and the voice acting capabilities of the community.
Cool.
Because even our role players have a great amount of story creativity. Yeah.
DMs, all those guys. I mean, we're just a way of trying to – we recognize that talent was already there in the community. Let's just try to funnel it into a project and see how it goes.
Skunk, you're going to sign up for that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping that they have a good bad guy role for me.
Tony, you know of anybody that might be interested?
I do, actually. A couple of people.
Cool. Well, let them know.
Yeah, just have them post to the forums, and we'd be happy to get them. We're going to get the names of the characters are already up, and we're going to be getting not only just the background behind them, but we're actually putting their character sheets together so you can see what feats they might have, what level they are, and what classes they are, so you'd kind of get a feel for how this person would act.
Yeah, I'll definitely pass that on.
Cool.
Thanks, Trey, for letting me have some time.
You bet. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah.
Hey, also Say to Play, which we've had on a couple of our episodes, which is the weapon of voice. If y'all remember, this is some software that you can actually add onto your PC, and it will give voice command to all of your games, over 60 games. Well, they just came out with version 2. And so if you already have an activation ID for that, you can download version 2 free of charge. So go check that out. I've actually been using that. It's awesome. I can be playing Neverwhere Nights 1, and I can say inventory, and my inventory box pops up. Or I can say close inventory, and it goes down. I can say journal, and my journal pops up. It's cool. And so if anybody wants the templates for that for NWN1, just let myself or Dave Eat to Surf know.
Is that how you got past the end?
No, actually,
is
no.
It Slay Mob, and it did it for you?
No, actually, no. That actually, I wasn't using it in Mask of the Betrayer at the time. But I could have. Okay, and then one last thing, and then we'll get to Tony's interview. BioWare is eyeing the Wii. They're thinking about creating some games for the Wii, which I think is awesome, because I have a Wii.
Create a Wii little game.
I remember Rob McGinnis made a post news for Neverwinter Nights 2 a while ago. I think it was like last Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, about like Neverwinter Nights 2 for the Wii.
Yeah, that was April 1st.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, April Fool's.
This isn't April Fool's, though, because their Sonic Chronicles have done pretty good on the Wii. Selling over 600,000 units, so, which is pretty decent. And also, somebody also said that the Wii outsells the 360 and the PS3 every month. So,
are they thinking about some sort of interactive combat system using the Wiimote? Or
let me see. They the article talks about that. Hold on, let me find it in the article. Okay, so people ask, but what kind of game does BioWare plan to develop for the Wii? If we did a Wii game, I think we'd approach it with the target audience in mind first and the vision of delivering an emotionally powerful narrative and go back to our basics in terms of some of the pillars of gameplay we'd like to bring to bear. Exploration, progression, customization, conflict, story, narrative, and characters. That sounds like Neverwinter Nights.
Is there any way to like make your own homebrew games for Wii yet?
Or... I don't think so. It's proprietary.
Yeah, I figure.
I know people, like, they've taken apart the Wiimote API, but I don't think you can really make any games for it yet.
Well, I remember seeing some fella on YouTube doing like a motion sensory thing with his head in a Wii remote, and he made his own like program. Maybe he was hooked up into a PC, but I don't know. It would be interesting to see some homebrew games, though, for Wii.
Yeah, I think people have taken the input devices as inputs into a PC and done stuff.
Hey, Skunk?
Yeah.
That guy's actually writing his own .NET code using the Wiimotes tethered to his PC with a Bluetooth, through the Bluetooth.
Uh-huh.
And wrote all that software and drivers to do that on a regular PC.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
It's just freaky cool what he's doing. It's just bizarre.
Cool. That's going to go far.
Oh, no. I mean, guys, he's got the stuff set up, and he puts little sensors on. What he's basically doing is, you know, the light bar in a Wii has two LEDs in it. Mm-hmm. And the handle that you use to play the game actually is sensing the differences and spatial differences between those two lights and sending that information to the Wii, because that handle is tethered to the Wii through Bluetooth. He flipped it around. He puts the LEDs on some glasses, and he makes stuff look like it actually comes 3D out of the screen.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell you were talking about. I'm just waiting for the homebrew Wii porn, you know?
Oh, my God.
Those things are going to hit, you know? Wii porn's going to rock.
Okay,
put Skunk back in the closet, please. Okay. Now we're going to get on to our interview with Tony, a.k.a. Spool32. Place where NWNX and Persistent was invented. They're still going strong after 7 years. They currently have a staff of 20 DMs and an active dev team turning out custom systems, areas, and mods all the time. A place that focuses on characters, shaping the in-game world, and being shaped by it. From small events to world-spanning political complexities, behind the scenes, new server hardware and dedicated bandwidth underpin the largest Neverwinter Nights world around. Welcome to the world of Avalis. Meet your new addiction.
Wow, I hope you can live up to that.
I got that off his website, so.
We can't.
Hey, Spool. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't you start out and tell us about yourself?
My name's Tony. I go by Spool32, and I have been playing on the Avalis world since late 2004 and started DMing there in 2006. I don't know what else to really tell you guys about it. What do you want to know about me?
What is your experience with Neverwinter Nights? I mean, have you been playing it from the beginning or...?
I played the single player when it first came out, and I was always
sort of animated by the idea of being able to play multi, but I'd never tried it before. I got into playing while I was living overseas, and my wife was back here in the States, and we started using it as a way to hang out together without having to pay any money or long distance fees or anything like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's what we did, and it sort of grew from there. And yeah, we kind of have stuck with it ever since. Now we're both senior members of the staff and on the board for the nonprofit that runs the game.
You played together, you didn't play against each other though, right?
No. Well, I mean, mostly, yeah. She always says it's a really safe way to work out your marital aggression.
That's funny. Hey, now we understand that Avalis is one of the largest persistent worlds, if not the largest, for NWN1 in existence. For those that don't know, why don't you tell us what Avalis is all about?
Sure. It started out as a PMP game in the 70s and 80s with a few guys, and then when the possibility of persistent worlds sort of started to come around, they began to build Avalis as an Neverwinter Nights engine. It started out with Orleron and, of course, Papillon, who wrote, I don't know if he wrote it all or just large parts of the original Neverwinter Nights extensions, the NWNX. It just kind of grew from there. We had the advantage of having a huge world already with 20 years or so worth of, 20 years or so worth of lore already done. And, it was easy to sort of carry that over to the game. Now we have, we're up to 9 modules. We were at 8 and then we had to split one because it got too big. So we split it in half. And currently over 3,000 areas live in the world and a couple hundred regular players all over the world and USA and Europe and a nice dedicated group in the Australian time zones as well.
Wow. So how does that work where you link modules together?
I guess it's very seamless in that you walk to the edge of the module and the server transitions you to a new one. There's code on the back end that moves your player over and makes sure that keeps track of what server you're supposed to be on. Right. So for the player, it's completely seamless. The transition is maybe 5 seconds instead of 2 or 3.
So it's kind of like it's kind of like moving from an area, but just a little bit longer.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. It's just like an area transition, but you move on to the next server. And that allows us to host a whole lot more people, and also it allows us to really let the world grow and fill it up with content.
Wow.
Thinking that, isn't there a coalition of planets or something that was in Neverwinter Nights 1 that was accomplishing some of that same kind of functionality?
That's right. Avalis is the sort of the core for the what they call the Coalition of Planes and Planets, COPAP. And so we took that step from just linking modules together out another level so that we link different servers together from different teams. So there's the Hollow World and Arkaz, and there used to be a couple of others. So there are inter-server portals as well where you can do plane traveling and leave the Avalis modules all together and, again, seamlessly link to another entire world with its own team and its own DM staff.
Yeah, see, that's one of the things that gets me, is that a lot of people have no idea that that could be done with Neverwinter Nights, literally making it an MMO, you know, in your own MMO.
You know, most of the sites that we've seen, I guess they're one module. I don't know how many other sites or how many other worlds out there were linked together. I'm not terribly sure how many others were. But there is a set of code called Vaultster that you can use to move character bix back and forth between different teams and different server vaults as well.
Yeah, I think the really cool thing there is that even the people that wrote the original game didn't even think that concept could even happen.
Now, this is all completely community developed.
All this has quite a list of custom systems built into it. Can you tell us a few of your favorite ones?
Yeah, we have a whole lot of custom systems that we offer to players, and sort of the philosophy that we try to keep is that if you don't want to use them, say if you like the current stock Neverwinter Nights Barbarian Rage system, then you can go ahead and continue using that. But if you'd rather use our custom system, then you can either buy particularly for Barbarian Rage, you begin by buying an item and using it before you rage. And we keep track of your progression under this alternate system. As you not only do you get experience for killing mobs, you also get experience while you're using this alternate system, and then you get different abilities. I think we offer 5 different options for ragers, sort of some that are more dexterity based, some that are more constitution or like tanking based, some that are more vampiric regen based, and all of them are balanced, so they have some downsides and some upsides. But it gives the rage system a lot more character. And so that's kind of the philosophy we go with, where you can always use the default systems if you like, but then you can opt into the ones that we offer as well. One of the ones I really like is companion training. We've gone through and at this point gotten most of the animal type creatures in the world such that you can take them as your animal companion if you're a druid or a ranger. And once you use animal empathy to get the creature, you can start using the companion training system to make that specific creature your own animal companion so you can summon it later on. And then there are, I don't even know, maybe a couple of dozen different things you can tell it to do, including fetching items, defending you, guarding a specific spot, some of the creatures that are much more difficult to take as a companion there's a couple of sandworms you can get if you have ridiculous animal empathy, and so those guys can do sort of wing buffet area knockdowns and other stuff, and of course it takes training. It takes overtime over and over and over as you spawn the creature and tell it to do different things. It gets more skilled, and then it all depends on your base, whatever your base creature was to summon. So if you chose a bear, then there are some creatures you'll be good at training, some creatures you won't. If you chose a direwolf, for example, you wouldn't have very much success training any of the feline animals in the game. But any of the canine type animals in the game, you'd have a lot of success doing.
Sandworms like from Dune?
No. It's more a dragon type creature, not like a gigantic sort of purple worm type thing.
Oh.
D&D worm.
Right. I know. He said sandworm, and I thought of Dune. Sorry.
Yeah, so I like that, and I also like our advanced magic specializations. Part of the challenge of doing things in COPAP is that we have to get all of the teams and all of the worlds together if we're going to make significant changes, like adding a real prestige class in. And so one of the ways that we've been able to extend abilities for characters on Avalis without requiring everybody else come along with us is to add on this advanced magic specializations. And we set it up in 3 ranks, and it's kind of a roleplay award for people who roleplay training or studying it. And we let you do things like automatically substitute all of your elemental magic to one specific element, there's a white necromancy specialization, which turns all the necromantic stuff into positive energy, which heals your party and does damage to undead. There's a wild magic specialization, which adds a random element that might, your spells might be incredibly much more powerful, or you might turn into a cow or explode yourself or the party. There are several others as well. Again, it's one of those things where if you're not interested in it, then you can go along with the stock spells and all the custom ones we've added in. But if you want to take this angle, if your character is the sort of character that only likes fire magic, well, you have the ability to actually automatically change all of your elemental spells into fire spells.
Wow.
Very awesome. I was wondering, does that play within the custom classes that you guys have as well?
That works alongside the custom prestige classes. We built 8 holy warriors, because the Avalis pantheon is 9 gods, 1 for each alignment, and so we have 8 real prestige classes for each holy warrior, and they all have their own specific style. For example, the lawful evil holy warriors, the Dominator, and in the world lore, Dominators are very, well, have been for a long time very anti-magic, so a lot of his abilities have more to do with being a mage killer than being sort of a stock holy warrior. The chaotic neutral holy warriors spells and abilities have a lot to do with confusion and other mind affecting type things. So they all have their own flavor. But the advanced magic stuff lays on top of that as a sort of a side thing. Again, as a role player reward for people who aim towards it, then the team makes a decision. We say yes, we'll grant you that ability, and from then on, you get to use it.
Because I'm assuming that the custom classes would also have to be spread out across the servers as well, where the advanced magic specializations don't.
Yeah, that's true. All of the PRCs have to they have to be supported, even if they're not available. And of course, each member of the COPAP system gets to make their own decisions. For example, some worlds allow Red Dragon Disciple, but Avalis doesn't have dragons in its lore, so we don't allow you to take that class, but we make sure that everything interoperates, so if you move back and forth, all of your stuff still works.
So what is Nightfang Mountain?
That is, it's gotta be the hugest dungeon I've ever seen. We have a builder who goes by Rissark, and it must have taken him a year. He put together this incredible thing. It's an entire mountain. A clan of gnolls lives there, and it's just amazingly detailed. It takes, I think, when we were first going through it, in order to really look at everything, examine all of the little touches and the little pieces of flavor that are in there, I think it took us 6 hours to go through it.
Golly.
And I mean, it's massive. It's absolutely massive. And it's a sort of a modular design dungeon where at the bottom end, you can be sort of a 8th to 10th level party and be able to survive the very beginning areas. And then as you kind of get into the mountain, it forks off into different areas of the dungeon that are different difficulty levels. And for the very, very deepest parts, you need a party of 30 to 40th level epics. I mean, a party to get through.
I heard Leroy Jenkins got lost in there.
it's really huge. And the attention detail is incredible. There's even a part inside a tavern inside the one of the areas where you can go up and click on the tavern forums. And I'm sure a lot of worlds do this, where you know your website has an in-character section where people leave notes in the tavern, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you can go into the dungeon and click on the board and read the five or six different long discussions and arguments that different gnolls in the game have been having on their tavern forums. You could spend a half an hour just reading the silliness in there. I don't know, everywhere you turn in there, there's little details, and it's just an amazing dungeon.
Wow. So have you been to every part of this world?
At this point, most of it. I don't DM a whole lot in the Underdark City, and I don't DM a lot in the city where all of the magic orders have their sort of seat of power. So there's a good portion of those two worlds that I haven't seen, and I definitely haven't seen it all as a player.
Wow.
I mean, I get to see a lot as a DM, but I have definitely not been to all of the corners of our world. We did a count just recently because we weren't really sure, actually, and it turns out we have over 100 dungeons live in the game right now.
Wow.
And yeah, I was kind of surprised by that, actually.
Sounds huge.
It is huge. It's a lot to manage and maintain, too.
So I understand that a player can join armies. How does that work?
So the main overarching plot that's going on in the world right now is an invasion across three different nations by the Lizardman nation. And so on three of the different modules, there are parts of the server that are considered a war zone. And as a player, you can have your character pledge to one of the four different armed forces, either the three human and elven armies, or to the lizard men and play on the evil side as well. Once you do that, we have systems in place to allow the NPCs to recognize you as a member of the army, so they'll fight with you, sometimes they'll heal you, or step out of the way if they're in the way of you, and generally treat you as a member of the army, and that includes spawns that would normally be hostile for everyone else. If you play on the Lizardman side, then all of the standard spawns become hostile, and all of the lizard and kobold spawns, and those are the things that are friendly to you. Then we also have a new system, which is only live on one server now, and we're pushing out to the others, which is sort of a capture-the-flag idea, where we have a group of areas in the war zone, and each one of them has a flag in the center. And as you go through it as a member of one of the armies, mm-hmm. you'll see the NPCs fighting each other. And so you join into the fight, and if you can clear the area of the opposing army, then you can touch the flag, and that will claim that area for your side and cause only spawns from your side to spawn in there until someone opposed to you comes in and fights them all off.
Sounds awesome.
It's pretty neat.
I think that's where I'm going to be playing this weekend.
Yeah. That sounds wicked.
So
I'm pulling out a player application right now.
if we were going to play this weekend, though, how much do we have to download, and how does all that work?
Well, we have a lot of hacks.
Do you have an installer?
And yes, actually, I haven't looked, but we had someone build us a Windows installer, and he was done with it this morning and uploading it to our website.
Oh, cool!
So it's about a 600 meg download altogether. Once you do, it installs all the hacks for you, and it also adds a few overrides from the community as well. We added the Ravenloft skybox as an option, and one of the realistic hands overrides, and we added a modified version of Ania's transparent interface, and the Project Q's undead redux as well. All as options, so you can throw those in your override folder. And then, of course, all the hacks that we use. But, rather than having to chase them all over the place, you just download this one thing, click next a few times, and you're done.
Excellent. So what are some of the challenges that you face running a persistent world as big as this?
There's a lot. There's a whole lot. I guess years ago, as we kind of came through the evolution of Avalis as a persistent world, it used to be run sort of like little fiefdoms, where everybody's module was controlled by a module coordinator, and that coordinator went out and got his own builders and kind of built with his own standard. And over time, that got to be really difficult to maintain because, of course, people move on or they stop wanting to be the module coordinator. And so we replaced that with a proper business-like QA system where everything gets submitted to us. We have one person, Mad Cat, goes through and makes sure that everything's working. We have a QA staff that does all of our testing for us, and a separate server, which is in my dining room, that hosts the modules. And
on your dining room table?
Oh, it's in a corner. It's really loud, too. So, yeah, we have a separate QA server, and then everything gets added into the QA server, tested by members of the community who want to help us out. And once we know it works and it fits with all the build standards that we've put in place, then it gets added to the live module and goes live. So that really made a huge difference in our ability to remove illegal static drops, to make sure that continuity stayed important, so that we didn't have guys going off and changing encounters or just making stuff happen that didn't seem to make sense with the world lore. That was a big challenge. I think as far as the development as a world, getting a good QA system in place was a... I don't think we could have grown as we have without that. I think eventually it just would have become impossible to maintain, and it would have started to show around the edges as things were wrong or broken, and we just couldn't find them or fix them.
Do you have some technical challenges as well? Like, didn't you recently have some hacking or hackers?
We had, we had the site got hacked. Some script got added to the site, and we struggled with it for 10 or 12 days, I guess, before we finally sorted it out. So that's been really difficult. And then bandwidth is always an issue. For a long time, we struggled with poor servers, and that has thankfully been finally resolved by a very generous member of the community. We now have a dual quad-core server with 12 gigs of RAM running ESX and hosting 11 virtual machines that run the modules.
Damn.
And it is it is super fast. Right now, unless there's a problem with one of the virtual machines, we've pretty much gotten rid of lag altogether on the servers. We dedicated bandwidth specifically for the game. It's been a sort of a thorn in our sides for a long time that we finally gotten rid of.
Cool. Now, you've also made some administrative changes recently to Avalos as well. You want to tell us about those?
Sure. I guess, like I said, Avalos has been up and live since 2002, with only minimal downtime in between, as you know, for technical issues or whatever. And I guess beginning of this year, Orleron and Silk, the guys who originally put the world up, they pretty much moved on. Oral wasn't logging in anymore. Silk was needing the room that the servers were housed in to do other things. And so we got to a point where they weren't sure they could keep it live. So a group of eight of us, some team members, some players, we got together and we put together a nonprofit corporation, incorporated it, and took over the world from there. We signed agreements with the creators, and took over all the forums, the website, all the content, built a new server and moved it. And now it's us running the show instead of the original guys. And it's been very good for the community, I think. There was we sort of rededicated ourselves to transparency in the donations and committed to publishing monthly all of the, you know, everything we take in, everything that we spend, so that everybody knows what's going on. And it's been really good. And it's allowed us to stay live and keep going, hopefully for a long time.
Well, that's awesome. I love it when people in this community come together to make sure something keeps going. It's awesome.
Yeah. Finance your own and game on, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible to do. We don't have to do a lot of begging, and people are very generous in the Atlas community. So we're not struggling. When we were able to spend a little extra money to find an external guy to code us this installer for all the hacks, and that's completely funded by members of the community.
Cool.
This is just another thing to say, that when people say that the Neverwhere Nights community is dying, this proves them wrong.
Yeah,
I agree altogether. There's still hundreds and hundreds of people that are logging into Persistent Worlds all over the community, and development is still happening all the time. Yeah, I think it's completely incorrect to say that the community is dying.
And there's new players coming on all the time, too.
Yeah, and this is a Neverwhere Nights 1, right?
That's right, yeah, it's NWN 1. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So what was one of your most favorite times gaming on Avalos?
Oh, as a player or as a DM?
Either one.
Let's see. So there was a point way back in 2005 where I was in an event. We were it was a small group of people, and we had a mission to accomplish, and my main as a player was sort of a lawful good 8 intelligence, sort of a sword and board bashing kind of a guy, not your sharpest stick in the rack, I suppose. And so we got together to try to figure out strategy, and all of the very high-level and very powerful people sort of said, okay, it's your turn to come up with a plan. And I had no idea what to do as a player, and no idea as a character either how to put it together, but I did manage to come up with something, and we went with it, and it turned into one of the most fun events that I've ever had in the game, actually. It was really fantastic. So yeah, I remember specifically because it was the old timers at that time, of course, and all the high level characters stepping away and letting a new player try to, you know, sort of come to the fore and make his own mark inside the game world for his character.
Oh,
and
cool.
That's something you see a lot. You see, we have a very strong sense of community as far as not letting, you know, not having the epics dominate everything, and being willing to have somebody who's in a position of power within the game world grab somebody new and say, all right, you solve this problem, you fix it. This is your plot, your event to deal with, and I'm going to stand back and watch, and we'll see how you do. So I really like that as a...
Prove yourself, my son.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it can work as it can work in character, and it works as players too, because you really appreciate that chance to stand out as a, you know, a sixth level guy, as opposed to, you know, 28th, 30th, 40th level people.
That sounds like an awesome world, Tony.
You know, we really like it.
So do you guys have regular scheduled events? Any that you want to tell us about coming up?
I don't want to commit other DMs. we have, as part of the war, all of us are running scheduled events. I'm not sure what's going on with the Lizard Army right now or the Human Army right now, but I am running scheduled games on Sundays at noon Central for people who are interested in committing their characters to the Elven Army of the Spirit Land. Mm-hmm. And I am running Monday at 8 p.m. Central, games for characters who want to commit themselves to the city guard and the sort of ad hoc army of the Elven City on the Alesia server. So if you're interested in joining in as a new player, specifically the Elysian game on Monday nights is very, very geared towards low levels. I think the highest level regular character we have there is 9th level right now. Sunday game is going to be a little more spread depending on who shows up. But yeah, those two are happening every week unless something crazy happens and I miss it. But even then, usually another DM picks up or the players go off and do training on their own. That's what I'm doing. Other people are doing stuff all the time. We've got DMs in Australian and European time zones, and there's one-offs happening at least one a day, if not more.
So I'm sure you have these posted on your forums, right?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. Some of the events are they're sort of pickups. DM grabs whoever's around and does something.
Oh, okay.
I have mine posted, and then usually the other armies, when they have events, they'll be posted as well and announced for people to join in.
Okay, real quick, why don't you tell everybody where they can go to find your awesome world and how they can find out about these events and everything?
Okay, the website is www.avilis.org, A-V-L-I-S.org. You can find more information on our wiki, which is wiki.avilis.org. You can also grab me an IRC or email me, spool32@gmail.com, if you have questions. And, I'd love everybody to come by, everybody listening to come drop in. We are, if I can have another moment.
Yeah.
Sure.
I got a question, too, to ask still.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, starting this week, either tonight or tomorrow, we are going to be opening the world up for no passwords and no application to join in and play. Normally we have an age limit. We like players to be 16 or over when they join in.
Oh, too bad, Skunk.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask my mommy.
Well, I was going to ask. I was trying to register on the World of Avalis registration, and the, I agree to these terms. Link seems to be darkened out, so I was trying to kind of first, you know, I went in. But I don't know if that's part of what you're talking about there.
I don't know if it is or not. I'll have to poke it and see. But, yeah, we are pulling the passwords off the server, so you can join straight out of the GameSpy list. And we're in PW Story on GameSpy if you're looking for the world there.
Is there any new advanced Dungeon Master tools that you have by chance? Anything unique that you have that's not anywhere else?
I don't know about whether or not there's stuff that's nowhere else. We use a lot of the DMFI tools, and we are also rolling out a whole bunch of custom tools for DMs, which work straight from the command line. Basically, there's a it's a DM tool that you point at either a character or a spawn or an object, and then you can do things just from the command line, like typing slash copy, and that saves that spawn into the database. And then you can just type slash paste, and it'll paste it again over and over and over, or even bind that to a button on your quick bar and just click paste 8 or 10 times, and it'll repaste the creature. So that's kind of nice because we're on the edge of the custom palette limits. And that lets us build spawns or build NPCs and rename them, and then with the renamer tool that we have, and then just save them in a database for ourselves rather than have them in the palette taking up space. And it's nice. It's nicer than the DFMI copy because it doesn't require you go through a bunch of menus. Once you've done it once, then you can just type in slash paste and the name if it's an NPC, or just type slash paste and it'll paste the last thing you targeted. So it's pretty handy.
Skunk's our resident DM, by the way.
Sure.
He made DM of the year 2007.
Yeah, I found that. I got that out of a cereal box.
Free boat ride for three.
Okay, Tony, a.k.a. Spool, thanks, man, for coming on our show.
Thank you very much for having me.
And
you take care.
Telling us about your great world. You're welcome back anytime, okay?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to come back.
If you ever have any spotlights or any events that you want to record and you know, like do a little segment and send to us, we'll play them in the show.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And anytime, since you have Skype now, you can actually call in to this. The NWN podcast Skype ID and leave a message if you want us to play it in the show or anything. You can do it that way too.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Good chatting with you, man.
Hey, I wanted to say real quick, we got a new listener in the forums, Jana Q, a.k.a. Chris. He says way back when 200 megahertz computers were fast. He played Duke Nukem 3D, and then he decided to try an RPG titled Baldur's Gate.
Hmm.
And he knew nothing about D&D stats or THATCO or anything, etc. He was making characters and having fun. Then all his bad loot started dropping in armor -3, -2, and he said he didn't want that stuff. He wanted the +2, +3. So. So he got partway through the game before his party kept dying on him. So then a few years later, he read the D&D rules, and he busted out laughing. So he immediately bought Icewind Dale 2, 1 and 2, NWN 1, and then stumbled across a link for the NWN podcast. So then he goes on to say that he's been listening since for a couple of weeks now, starting with episode 1. And it's currently on 93. And he said he's enjoyed them all. So welcome to the podcast, Chris, a.k.a. Jaina.
Welcome.
Hi there.
You got balls of steel coming to say hello to us. Good to hear from you.
All right, anything else we need to do before we close out, guys? Any other announcements?
Yeah, AME, I lost. Yeah, what's up with that?
All right.
Until next time, get in game time, level up. Get in game time, level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2009.
I posted it in my work form.
Oh, good lord. Which forms?
I have a special treat for you tonight.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
Should I be scared?
Of course. Don't be so ridiculous.
Alrighty. Which part of the BioWare forms? Which category?
Put it under NWN1 and NWN2. Nobody in NWN1 must know because nobody responded over there.
That's pretty funny.
I thought you found that funny. Mm.
So you're in the general. It's in the general discussion.
Well, don't go read it yet, or don't go there.
But you've already posted it. So what's the difference? It's like everybody has seen it but me.
I know, but I want you to be surprised by them when I read them to you.
I'll fake it.
And then... and then laugh, you know.
Cause... Keeping my mouth closed.
I don't... Shut up, Jay.
Oh, my.
Why does it take us long to fall back into that routine, does it?
You are going to laugh tonight, right?
I don't know. Is that why you brought Jay?
Possibly.
Someone to screw with me to ensure the laugh?
No, I have an announcement, and I heard this was your last show, so I wanted to come and be here for that.
I can't even find it.
Good. Now go look for it.
Hello, I'm Tony, a.k.a. Spool32, an elder DM from the Atlas Persistent World, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast. And, of course, my phone rang.
I was going, dual, cool, he has his own background music.
My dogs have been silent all evening. My phone hasn't rung.
He's like, hi, I am Tony. Ta-da!
And the heavens opened up, and there was rejoicing.
Maybe we should just keep that.
Okay, that was cool. That's going to make a good blooper. Okay, take a pause and go for it again.
Sure.
What's your phone number?
Okay.
Hey, there's somebody on what listening to the live stream that seems to be a fan of you, so maybe they might want your number. This is Lugas.
Okay, y'all, let him do it.
She says she already has it. You stud. Oh, it's a he. Oh, you stud. Yeah. That's legal now in some places. So. Way to go, I guess.
Oh, you mean there's somebody typing on the Stig'em chat?
Yeah. A fan of his. Or from Avian. Sorry.
Okay, come on. Sorry. Go ahead,
Johnny. I'm just trying not to laugh.
Okay. Quiet on the set.